Page 1039, it's Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I want to point you today to Luke chapter 9 and verse 55 and 56. Words that you will not find them in many of the modern versions, 32 of the modern versions. In fact, you won't find these words that I am about to read. Luke chapter 9, verse 55, and it's the words of Christ. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Those words have been omitted from the modern versions. Isn't that a tragedy? These are wonderful words. These are amazing words. And I'm so glad today that we still do have these words, and that we can read them today, that we can listen to them, that we can hear them. You will have noticed, I'm sure by now, the new banner on the outside of the church, Sermon Audio, and the text of scripture that's associated with Sermon Audio, Faith Cometh by Hearing. What's the rest of the verse? It's not up on the banner, but I'll read it to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People need to hear God's word. That's all important. It's not so important that you hear my words today, but that you hear God's word. Hearing is so important. Hearing with your ears the word of God. By the way, there's another text that has been removed in the modern versions. I don't know whether we'll get round to it, but he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Mark, I think it's Mark 7, verse 16. But check it when you go home for yourself. It has been removed. But how important it is, folks, to hear the word of God. Well, if we were using the NIV or some other modern version today, you would not hear these wonderful words that I have read today. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Thank God these words will go out today over the airwaves, the internet, sermon audio. We praise God for their ministry, and we're glad to be able to use it. And folks, as I've said to you before, our congregation is bigger than you realize. 500 almost downloads this past month, and we have reached the 1,000 sermon mark. Exactly 1,000 sermons have been uploaded, not just my own messages, but other men who have come to this pulpit to preach. And thank God there's 1,000 messages up there that are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for people to listen to. Pray for the internet ministry as we continue to reach out in that way. It's time consuming, it takes time, but we believe and the importance of people hearing God's word. Pray for the CDs that go out. We're so thankful to John down there at the back for the faithful ministry that he has running off all the CDs. Do you know that John posts CDs to England? Maybe you didn't know that. Take a moment today to pray for God's servant and his ministry. Such an important, vital ministry. Who knows? Really, it'll only be eternity that'll reveal the souls that have been saved and encouraged through the CDs and through sermon audio. But let's come to this wonderful statement that the Lord Jesus made. And remember, the Bible says, John 7 verse 46, never man spake like this man. Nobody ever spoke like the Lord Jesus. Doesn't matter who you mention today, Spurgeon, Whitfield, Wesley, the preachers of a bygone era that we look up to, none of them came anywhere near the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what wonderful words he spoke. What a preacher he was. Never man spake like this man. Is it any wonder that the devil wants to remove the Savior's words from the Bible? It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery to work it out. Why is it that these words have been removed? It's the old serpent who's behind these modern translations of the Bible. He wants to steal the words of Christ. And sad to say, in many of the modern translations, the words of our Savior have been stolen. Some people ask us, they maybe asked you, why are you so old-fashioned? You still use the King James Bible, the authorized version. You not come into the 21st century. Use a modern version of the Bible that people can understand. Well, there's a lot of things I could say about that. First of all I'd say is many of the words in the Bible are one-syllable words. Hard to understand? One syllable? Come on. And I'll say this as well and say no more. The people who argue that we need to use modern versions so that the average man on the street can understand the Bible, they forget about the Holy Spirit. They discount the Holy Spirit. As far as they're concerned, it's just all about education, just all about our grey matter up here. Well, I want to tell you folks, it's not. If it was down to our grey matter, our education, we wouldn't have a hope, we would never understand the Bible. But it's down to the Holy Spirit. Praise God, today we can depend on the Holy Spirit to anoint our eyes with eyes, spiritual eye salve, and to help us to understand the glorious truths of the gospel. Thank God we can say today with the prophet, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we want to see Jesus today, don't we? This morning and this evening. It's a very sad service. It's a dead service whenever Christ is not preached and presented. And you remember that there were people who came to the Lord in John chapter 12, and Philip met them, and they said to Philip, "We would see Jesus." You know, there's another lovely verse of scripture later on after Christ had risen from the dead. You know what it says about the disciples? Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. You're always glad when you get a glimpse of the Lord, aren't you? When you get a glimpse of Christ as he presents himself in his precious word and in the scriptures. It's wonderful. I pray today the Holy Spirit will open our eyes that we might see our beloved. Well, we come to this verse of Scripture, or these verses of Scripture, and we find incineration, first of all. That's a big word, but just means speaking about fire and burning. Incineration, that's desired. You see, notice the words of the disciples, James and John, in verse 54, just before Christ speaks. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" My, these two disciples, the sons of thunder, that was their nickname. Sons of thunder, they were well named. Boy, you can just imagine them, their face red with rage. "These Samaritans, they've rejected the gospel. Lord, we'll call down fire on them. We'll teach them a lesson." They wanted to incinerate these people, these lost souls. Incineration. My, whenever I thought about that, I couldn't help but think about yesterday. Says you, what was yesterday? Well, 40 years ago yesterday, that awful massacre took place at the Le Mans Hotel in Belfast. 12 innocent Protestant civilians incinerated by IRA savages. I hope you'll remember the families, the survivors in prayer. By the way, a number of them are believers. You didn't see the YouTube video? The survivors, 10 years after the attack, there was a UTV program looking back on what happened that fateful night at the hotel. My, I was amazed at some of the Christians who were speaking. You know how nowadays you have all this politically correct nonsense all about forgiveness. Oh, do you forgive the people who did it? Oh, of course I forgive them. I don't hold any bitterness toward them at all. All this nonsense that you hear. Well, I was struck by what one of the survivors said. She had terrible burns from the bomb. She said, God will deal with those who perpetrated it. So he will. People talk about forgiveness. Do you forgive the people who did this to you? Why or how would you forgive people who haven't asked you to be forgiven? People who never ask for forgiveness. Do you think God forgives people who don't ask for it? If you think that, I don't know what Bible you're reading. But I couldn't help whenever I read about James and John and how they wanted to incinerate these people from Samaria, from the village. Couldn't help but think of what happened 40 years ago. You see, James and John had been on the Mount of Transfiguration just before saying these words. They had been up there and Jesus was there. Moses and Elijah were there as well. And you know, they must have been still thinking about Elijah. Oh, Elijah, he's the one who called down fire on the Israelite army that came to arrest him. I think they got a bit too big for their boots. And they thought that they would do the same. Folks, ministries are different. James and John, they thought, oh, our ministry is just exactly, it'll be exactly the same as Elijah. No, it's not. Different men of different ministries. And James and John, they took it into their heads that they were going to call down fire. We're going to, we'll sort these people out. They'll never forget this lesson. Well, cause the fire to come down upon them. They were so fickle. Yes, these disciples, they were so fickle. 1 minute they were up on the mount with the Savior. Oh, so spiritual, so holy. Before you could say Jack Robinson, they wanted to burn people alive. Does that not teach us how quickly we as believers can fall? How easily we as believers can fall? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The incineration that was desired, the indignation that was displayed, the indignation that was displayed. The Lord Jesus was so different to his followers. You see, we read there in verse 55, but, every time you read a but in the Bible, it's like a great hinge. It's like a hinge that a great door swings on. And here's this great door, as it were, this hinge, this little word but, this hinge that the door swings on. And it tells us, but he turned and rebuked them. James and John needed to be rebuked. Folks, there are times whenever every one of us need to be rebuked. I need to be rebuked. And so do you. It's not nice to be rebuked, but it's necessary. And the Lord knows when to rebuke us. Now, leave the rebuking to the Lord. Don't try to do the Lord's work. Sometimes, folks, we take it upon ourselves to rebuke another Christian when we should just leave it to the Holy Spirit. And you see, we go in like a bull in a china shop, don't we? But the Holy Spirit, he speaks so graciously, tenderly. He whispers to his child, rebuking them, chiding them, chastising them. And he does it perfectly. So let's just leave it to the Lord. But the Lord rebukes James and John. My, it's just as if Jesus is saying, men, there's coming a day when I'm going to be nailed to a cross, and it's not very far away now, and I'm going to take the fire from heaven. The fire is going to fall on me, not on the Samaritan villagers. Do you not understand? I haven't come into this world to call fire down upon people. I've come into this world to save lost souls. And that's exactly what happened at the cross. When Jesus bled and died, the fire of God's wrath fell upon him. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone fell upon the cities of the plain. Fire came from heaven. Folks on the cross, aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus took the fire and the brimstone upon himself? You and I deserve the fire and the brimstone. We deserve exactly what Sodom and Gomorrah got. In fact, we deserve far more than they got, because we have a Bible today. Sodom had no Bible. But the Lord Jesus, praise his name, he has taken the fire and the brimstone upon his holy soul and extinguished it. What joy that brings to the hearts of those who are trusting in him. These disciples, their spirit was wrong. They had the wrong spirit. Yes, they were saved, but their spirit was totally wrong. They needed to pray with David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Folks, maybe we need to pray that prayer today. Renew a right spirit within me. Maybe I need to pray that prayer. Maybe you need to pray that prayer. The indignation that was displayed. Then finally, the incarnation that was described. I want to finish off. The incarnation that was described. The Lord Jesus, he rebukes James and John, and then he goes on to explain to them and to describe to them why it is that he came into the world. Why did the incarnation took place? Why did Christ leave the hallelujahs of heaven to come to this earth where all he heard was the hisses of hell? Why was it? Well, Jesus tells his two followers, you notice the words of verse 56, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Do you know the average person in new buildings today thinks that Jesus came to destroy their life? In other words, they think, oh, this person, Jesus, that you Christians talk about so much and that I read about on the gospel tract, he came to destroy my life. He came to make me miserable. He came to make my face as long as a Lurgan spade. So many people think like that. Nothing could be further from the truth. This is a common misconception that so many people have. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to destroy men's lives. But folks, the reality is, and I hope that we'll tell others the reality, Jesus did not come to destroy people's lives. He did not come to make people miserable. He came to save their lives. He came to make them joyful. He came to give them something worth living for. Here we have the Lord Jesus forbidding persecution. You mark that. Here we have the Lord Jesus saying that violence is wrong. Violence here is prohibited. Because you've maybe had it thrown up at you. I have heard people say, well, what about the Crusades? You Christians, you have a neck on you. What about the Crusades and all the violence? It's a very simple answer to that question. The Crusades were ordered by Rome. It was Roman Catholic from start to finish. Those Crusaders ordered by the Pope to go and to destroy, those Crusaders that persecuted our Protestant forefathers and murdered them and butchered them. But back to the point, the Lord Jesus says, don't you dare resort to violence in my name. It's an important message. Christians are persecuted. They're not the persecutor. We are never to resort to violence, even when men reject the gospel like they rejected it in Samaria all those years ago. No, we must never persecute. Yes, we can debate and argue and stand our ground verbally, but God forbid that we should ever take up the sword, because the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, we don't use bombs and bullets. Okay? Persecution is a reality today. Do you know, folks, when we're on the subject, that one Christian dies every 11 minutes in our world? True Christians don't persecute anybody, but many true Christians are persecuted. Do you get that figure? One martyr every 11 minutes. So there have been 5 Christians who have been martyred since this service began, since we've been sitting in this nice, comfortable building. And then we think we get it so hard. But back to our Savior's words, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And folks, with this I finish. The Lord Jesus, as we have already said, did not come to make any one of us miserable. In fact, the opposite is true. He came to fill us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If what you have today makes you miserable and you're in bondage, I want to tell you today, you don't have Christ. You don't have salvation. You don't have the real thing. Because when you have Jesus, when you're saved, you've got joy because you know that the blood has dealt with the past. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it's not easy. As we said to the children, you'll have lots of hard days, but folks, there's joy and peace, and there's satisfaction, there's contentment. That's what Jesus came to give us. He came to give you that. He came to give me that. I don't know whether you're into football, but there's one of the Irish League grounds, Mournview Park, Glenavon Football Club play there. And they've got a sign up at the stadium. Do you know what it says? Life without Jesus makes no sense. And it's there every week, every time a match is played. There it is. You can see it. Life in big letters. Life without Jesus makes no sense. Truer words were never spoken. Oh, if you don't know the Savior today, come to Him. He can give you life. As one wee lady said, she made the mistake, life with capital F. Praise God, the Savior can give that to each one of us today. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Where is it found? Lord Jesus, found in thee.